The God of Mischief is back and better than ever.
Loki.
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 Loki. Wow. Great to see you again.
Critics agree Loki Season 2 is...
marvelous.
Great.
And it's finally here.
How much do you know?
Let's assume I don't know much.
A mind-bending adventure. Spectacularly cinematic.
I've been waiting for a moment like this.
It surpasses all expectations.
A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
Loki Season 2. Now streaming only on Disney Plus.
How are you now? Oh boy, folks. Have I got an episode for you today? We're talking about practice. Not the game. Not the fucking game. Not the game that actually matters. We're talking about practice. We're talking about the Montreal Canadiens at development camp had their first... well, technically they had two scrimmages today, if you want to look at it that way. And I got some thoughts, and I want to download those, or upload those, rather, in a podcast form. I'm rusty. It's been a little while since I did a Bottom 6 Minutes, but hello and welcome to a very special episode of the Bottom 6 Minutes podcast, presented by Habs Eyes and the Prize. I am Matt Drake, and I'm fired up to see some prospects in action. Absolutely fired up. Nothing is better than Montreal Canadiens hockey, and this isn't quite Montreal Canadiens hockey. We are talking about practice, but it does bring us one step closer to Montreal Canadiens hockey. So what happened? Well, as mentioned, they basically played two separate scrimmages. I think there's virtually the exact same teams in both of the scrimmages, 25 minutes each, rotating goalies constantly. I'm not really going to go through the score because they kept score weirdly. It's like almost like they reset the score in the second game. I thought it was supposed to be the same game. I wasn't even entirely sure what the format was there. And again, they were just rotating goalies constantly throughout the entire thing. So we just kind of got a glimpse of everybody. So what I want to do is kind of just talk about who impressed me the most. And I think right off the top, you got to talk about David Reinbacher. Because they put him out there very early in development camp, well before they even started doing scrimmages, when they're just doing drills. They had him working with Lane Hutson, who is arguably the most hyped prospect in the system right now for Montreal. And those two are dynamite together. Right off the top, we got to talk about that. They clearly have some legitimate chemistry between the two of them. I mean, constantly throughout the scrimmage, they were looking for Reinbacher to do the zipper, come down from the point, and just pop up on the back door, and Lane Hutson was finding him, man. There was a couple of really nice saves that had to be made. One of them was by Quentin Miller. Another one, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure it was Jakub Dobš. Not entirely sure. I might have got that wrong. I'm pretty sure I said it was Dobš on Twitter, but people were correcting me afterwards and saying, no, I think that was Kreto. I have no idea, and it doesn't really matter to me. For me, the key takeaway there was the chemistry that those two have between each other. They just are capable of finding each other. Reinbacher looks just really well positioned out there, calm, collected, and he seems to have a nose for that zipper play, that backdoor play. Everybody who grew up watching this team and is old enough to remember Andrei Markov will remember that in his heyday, that was Andrei Markov's favorite thing to do, particularly on the power play. It was sneak down from the point and just pop up on the back door and wait for somebody to feed him or wait for a rebound. Reinbacher is getting those feeds from Lane Hutson in the offensive zone. It's nuts. It's almost it's kind of weird to see two defensemen that deep in the zone simultaneously. I mean, there was times where Hutson was firing it basically from the outside hash mark across to Reinbacher, and Reinbacher's coming all the way down inside the dot. I don't care how they get it done. It seems like they have it. They're intent on those two becoming a pair together at some point. You know, it's still early. They've only had a couple of practices and a scrimmage together, but the chemistry's there. You gotta love it, and it I think is quelling some of the fear about the Reinbacher pick in the fan base. To see the most hyped prospect in the system doing well with Reinbacher. I mean, a lot of people are coming around on the pick a little bit, myself honestly included. Now, I do need to mention, I wonder if that was a calculated move, putting him with the most hyped prospect, who you know is capable of generating some very intriguing offensive opportunities because he's so shifty out there. He's so hard to catch. was another thing that really stood out, is just that Lane Hutson, man, he is the most exciting prospect in the system. He probably has the most upside of any of the prospects. Reinbacher apparently called him the next Cale Makar or something along those lines. I might want to go double check that quote while we're sitting here and while I'm still recording. But he said something about him being Cale Makar, and he's like, I don't know if he's going to like that quote, but I see him as another Cale Makar in the league or something like that. Yep, he said it. He said he's not sure if he'll like the comparison, but called Lane Hutson the next Cale Makar. I would love it if Lane Hutson is the next Cale Makar. I think we all would. And look, if he's the next Cale Makar and then they can turn Reinbacher into the next Devon Taves, we're in good shape. We're in good shape, folks. Anybody who watched that game, I think those two absolutely jumped off the page. But I have to stick with the defense for my next player that really jumped off the page. It was Adam Engstrom. He looked absolutely fantastic out there. He was looking to get in. When he got the puck at the offensive blue line, he was holding the line. He was coming down from the line with some really nice looking moves to get around checkers, toe drags. He was doing some really nice exchanges with Joshua Roy in the offensive zone, where they were just kind of playing around the perimeter a little bit and then getting opportunities out of that. So they play around the perimeter just to get people to move around, open up the right passing lane, and then fire it across the seam and get an opportunity on goal. Love it from those two, particularly Adam Engstrom, for my money, was the most impressive player on the ice on either squad. And that's including Reinbacher and Hutson. Reinbacher and Hutson, their chemistry really stood out. But Engstrom as an individual player, I think, was the best on the ice in those scrimmages. And, you know, for a team that has definitely struggled putting together a competent, you know, full six-man defensive core for the course of the last 15 years or whatever, it's got to be unreally exciting for all of us that we might finally be getting there. We know we've got some really good guys already in the NHL. We're looking at prospects right now. We're not even talking about Caden Gooley, Arbor Jack Eye, Jordan Harris, Johnny Kovacevic. You want to throw him in there too. Mike Matheson. We've already got some decent characters on the team, and the young guys that are coming up that are getting close, so close to being available for this team, are looking great out there in development camp. And that's fantastic news for this fan base. Adam Engstrom, again, my hat is absolutely off to him. And my hat's off to Pat Bexel, because Pat's been talking about him for a while now. Pat was showing everybody the highlights of him in Sweden last year, talking a lot about the different developments that he's been making in his game. And we're seeing that now. One of the things that people were most worried about, I shouldn't just say people and try to cop out like that. One of the things that I was most worried about was him coming from the big ice. Because when Pat's showing me all these highlights, you know, he's making these curls on the outside boards to create space for himself. And, you know, when those boards are closer than you're used to them being, I wonder, is that going to be a problem for him? It absolutely the fuck wasn't in these scrimmages. He's making some curls to the outside with the puck in the offensive zone. Tight, beautiful skating. And no problem with the fact that the boards have gotten a little bit closer to where he might expect them to be normally. He looks great. I would argue very strongly, keep him around for at least a couple of preseason games. I think we need to see him against another NHL team, against other NHL prospects and players. I think he's ready for a test, and he might be beyond this this development camp, honestly, at this point. And I guess that's what you get when you have a defenseman that's already playing professional hockey. It makes a difference, and he was the best player out there. Exciting times on the blue line for the Montreal Canadiens. And before I get to the forwards, might as well throw Logan Mailloux in there as well. Thought he had a pretty decent game. Definitely showed some holes defensively, but offensively, all the skills are there. Scored a really nice goal in the shootout at the end of the second scrimmage. Look, he's an offensive defenseman. If he makes the NHL this year, which is going to be a tall task for him, I think he's better suited than Laval to start the year and work on his defense a little bit. If he makes the NHL, absolute immediate power play contributor. I think he can do that in the AHL as well. Clearly, offensively, he's got the tools. It's a matter of putting everything else together for him. As for forwards, I mean, Philip Meschar scored a really nice goal. He just walked in, carried it through the neutral zone, gets into the offensive zone, and just goes absolute top shelf snipe. It was a relatively quiet scrimmage for him. But I liked his game. I felt like this was a good start for him. He kind of had it a little bit rough in Kitchener last season. I think, honestly, looking back at it, and I've said this before, he might have been better off going to Europe, or going back to Europe, rather, for that season. But, you know, it's water under the bridge at this point. I think the intention is pretty clear. They've said it. I don't think they directly said it, but they've pretty much said that they want him to start the year in Laval. So we'll get an opportunity to see him go pro and see if he can continue, putting shots like that on net. Joshua Roy, already talked about him a little bit. Very quietly effective. I thought he was well positioned. He had some really good back checks, actually, which was, you know, something that he got a lot better at through the course of last year, was his defensive hockey. And to see him carry that into the scrimmages, it's encouraging. You know, it's not the be all end all. Obviously, there's still work to be done in his case, but I could see him surprising and earning a spot with the Montreal Canadiens in this camp. I really could. And I know a lot of people think I'm nuts for saying that. I've had plenty of people talk shit to me about the fact that I think Joshua Roy could make this team. Believe me, he's so versatile that I really think he's going to make it a tough decision for them come the end of camp there. Should be interesting to see what happens in the preseason. Owen Beck, another one, just well-positioned, pretty quietly effective scrimmages from him. He was gaining a lot of attention on Twitter there until, of course, I don't know, Elon Musk's going to kill that app pretty soon. But he was getting a lot of attention from the fans. Definitely, people are noticing what he's capable of doing in transition and on defense. And he's another guy he could push this year. But he obviously can't go to Laval. So either he makes the Montreal Canadiens or he's going back to junior. And honestly, with the way the Montreal Canadiens are going, they're not ready to compete yet. I think they're going to be better this year, but I don't think it's the time to rush anybody. So I think maybe let him have one more year in junior and see what he can do down there. There's also Luke Tuck. Luke Tuck scored a really nice goal with an absolute laser beam of a shot. He was kind of impressive in that game too. I mean, he can really move. He skates pretty fast, shoots the puck pretty hard. Kind of gives you somewhat Josh Anderson vibes. I think it's going to be a tough task for him to make the Montreal Canadiens this season. I doubt that'll happen, but look, I just based on those scrimmages, I'm a bit more of a believer in him than I was prior. Of course, you need to see that sustained over a more extended period of time. He hasn't exactly blown the doors off in the NCAA. I'd like to see a little bit more from him. I'd like to see him carry that same compete level that he had in those scrimmages into the main camp. Could potentially, you know, push himself more into the picture for the future, maybe a couple years down the road. And I think that about sums it up. I mean, again, your top three, if you will, I'd probably go with Rheinbacher. Number one is Engstrom. I already gave that away. I'd probably go with Engstrom, Rheinbacher, and Hudson, and maybe, you know, you could throw Mayu and Hawaii in there as honorable mentions. Overall, it was intriguing to see. And again, I'm hyped up. We get to see some prospects in action. Now I'm even more hyped for main camp now and for rookie camp as well. It should be real interesting to see what happens. And another thing that just came up as I was recording this as well, I had to pause it. You could try to figure out if you can hear it in the audio where I paused it and write a shell, because apparently David Rheinbacher has signed his entry-level contract with the Montreal Canadiens. Now, I can't confirm that 100%, but it's being reported, and the Montreal Canadiens have yet to actually confirm it, so I would expect maybe by tomorrow morning we get a confirmation on that, but it's sounding like he has, in fact, signed that deal. That doesn't mean he's going to be in North America this season whatsoever. The thing about signing the deal at this point is that it could still slide. So if he goes back to Europe, if he goes back to Switzerland, then it would slide and the deal wouldn't start until the year after, or even the year after that. Really depends on when it is that they want to bring him over. Again, things can change. So if he has in fact signed the ELC and he shows up to camp and absolutely dominates and he's better than everybody else, there's a possibility that they say, all right, you know what, kid, you're up now. But I think he's going to be going back to Switzerland, and I think that, you know, it's good news that they were able to put pen to paper before he heads back to Switzerland and kind of get that on the books right away. So that's pretty much it for this one. We're on Spotify, Google Play, Apple, Megaphone. I'm on Twitter at DrakeMT. Drop me a follow. I'd appreciate it very much. Thank you, as always, for listening. And, of course, à la prochaine.